COVID-19 deaths are setting new records and hospitals are running out of space. Still, some Americans are suspicious about the scope of the pandemic.
If people don't think the virus is serious and they don't believe in the mitigation measures that have been recommended, then the virus is likely to continue to spread.
We'll talk to a health reporter about this challenge facing the women and men on the front lines. Plus, investors are looking for direction from Washington and beyond.
Those two big themes of stimulus of the coronavirus will continue to loom large for traders in the coming weeks.
And luxury at the laundromat, why smoothies and art exhibitions are finding a home near the washers and dryers. It's Thursday, December 3rd. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We begin with new records in coronavirus deaths and hospitalizations, with 3,000 deaths reported on Wednesday. This is according to Johns Hopkins University. In addition, the nation has now surpassed a record 100,000 hospitalizations, according to data from the COVID Tracking Project. We talked to WSJ Hospital reporter Melanie Evans about what the weeks ahead may hold for an already strained healthcare system.
So we've seen some of the reporting of case numbers disrupted by the Thanksgiving holiday, but we are still seeing very high numbers of new cases. And there is an expectation that the holidays will generate additional cases, all of which means they will see additional hospitalizations.
The U.S. Labor Department will release its weekly tally of jobless claims today, but the numbers could come with a caveat. Following a report from a government watchdog, the Government Accountability Office said the reporting system is backlogged, potentially impacting the amount of money given to unemployed workers. We get more from the Wall Street Journal's Eric Morath.
The GAO report throws a little bit of concern to how much we should trust these numbers. Economists have always sort of said it's a weekly indicator. And then especially in the pandemic, they've said, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty around these figures, especially around the new programs that Congress created. The GAO report really adds an emphasis to that warning.
A Labor Department spokeswoman said the agency was beginning to address recommendations and does not anticipate any changes to how claims are counted. As we near the end of the week, we'll be watching for retail earnings. Ulta Beauty, Dollar General, and Michaels all report their quarterly results today. And as we talked about last night on the podcast, renewed talks in Congress for a coronavirus stimulus deal may be moving forward, a prospect that may help lift investor optimism. Joining me now from London is markets reporter David Hadari. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Mark.
David, in addition to the stimulus talks, there was encouraging news about the vaccine authorization in the UK. What are traders looking for today?
Those two big themes of stimulus of the coronavirus will continue to loom large for traders in the coming weeks. The Democrats may have reduced their demands for a stimulus package. Whether the bill progresses any further will depend on uptake from across the aisle. Similarly, while the UK has authorized the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, investors will now be looking to other major economies for the next cues. Traders may also be weighing up the prospect of higher still infection rates in the US, with the expectation that Thanksgiving-related travel has spread the virus, and the House's unanimous approval of legislation on Wednesday that threatens a trading ban on shares of Chinese companies like Alibaba may also feed through into the market in the coming days.
David, let's shift the focus for a moment. We've talked a lot lately about the struggles facing the oil sector, but there has been a boost.
There has certainly been a boost recently for oil. Oil stocks did very well on Wednesday, thanks in part to the stimulus rally, and November was the second best month for crude in more than a decade.
David Hadari in London. Thanks very much, David.
Thank you, Mark.
Just ahead, skepticism about COVID-19 and the impact it could have on public health after the break. The healthcare workers on the front lines of the pandemic are dealing with a surge in infections and growing strains on the nation's hospital system. At the same time, many are facing another challenge, skepticism. Significant numbers of Americans say they don't believe the pandemic is as bad as public health and news reports indicate. Let's bring in WSJ health reporter Sarah Krause to talk about it. She joins me from New York. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah, some healthcare workers are calling this COVID denial. Just how widespread is the skepticism toward the coronavirus? And really, how big of a problem is this?
This is something that we've heard from healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, hospital workers across the country, really, where people in their community or even sometimes patients themselves either don't believe the virus is real, don't believe it's as severe as public health officials say it is, or that it's no more consequential than a routine cold, or who don't think that the mitigation measures like mask wearing that have been touted are in fact valuable or effective.
Where is the mistrust coming from?
So some of the doctors and nurses that I spoke with said they felt like some of this stemmed from mixed messages from political leaders about the efficacy of certain mitigation measures like mask wearing and some misinformation around the value of wearing masks. Others said, you know, some of this is anger and frustration from people who live in parts of the country that shut down very early when the virus wasn't there and felt a profound economic loss from that. They either lost their jobs or they watched family members struggle when the virus wasn't yet there. And so they felt like they've lost a lot before they, you know, could see in their communities the spread of this virus. And they're frustrated by the sort of economic strength that was lost and, you know, the uncertainty of their current, you know, financial and physical safety.
And this disbelief is happening at a time when cases are still rising in many parts of the country. How could this impact public health?
That's right. Cases are rising. Hospitalizations are at an all-time high. The challenge and the fear that these healthcare workers that I talk to express is if people don't think the virus is serious and they don't believe in the mitigation measures that have been recommended, then the virus is likely to continue to spread if not everyone is sort of rowing in the same direction and taking the same precautions to tamp down on it. So when we talk about the importance of flattening the curve, that's bringing cases down to a point where the healthcare system can manage the cases coming in the door that need treatment. And in some cases, the virus is now spreading in more remote rural parts of the country where there are fewer healthcare facilities to begin with. So the fear is just this continual sort of overwhelming of the healthcare system.
This leads to another significant health issue, vaccination. How could the skepticism of COVID impact that front?
Yeah, so already there are some concerns about the vaccine, given how quickly it's taken to develop the vaccines that are in the works. And about 42% of Americans who were surveyed in a recent Gallup poll said that they wouldn't get vaccinated. So some of that has to do with the fast development timeline. Some of it is safety concerns. Some of that is concerns about the sort of safety of vaccines in general. And some of it is a belief that the vaccine isn't necessary. And so I think that's where this other conversation that we're having about COVID denial or skepticism sort of factors in, is this sort of belief that a vaccine may not be necessary. And the concern is if not enough people get the vaccine, you know, will we really be able to, you know, get through this pandemic and stem the spread?
So, Sarah, what are health professionals doing about all of this? Is there a solution?
It's challenging. A few of the doctors that I talked to, you know, said that they hoped that people in the community would trust their medical professionals that are in their circle of family and friends or even network of healthcare providers. You know, one said, you know, when I test your cholesterol, you believe the numbers that I tell you. Why is it different with COVID? You know, sort of asking the public to take them seriously, particularly as they, you know, sort of risk their lives and have been working on the front lines of this throughout the pandemic. So they encouraged the public to trust public health officials, trust scientists, trust doctors, nurses, and healthcare workers.
WSJ Health reporter Sarah Krause. Sarah, thank you for sharing your reporting with us.
Thank you.
And finally, during the pandemic, we've talked a lot about businesses needing to adapt in ways they never expected. Here's one you may not have thought about. In cities all across Japan, laundromats are becoming a place for luxury. Among the amenities, pet spas, cafes, art exhibitions, and merchandise that cost hundreds of dollars. Business has been strong. Laundromats have evolved into a stylish and convenient choice for working women and the elderly. But not all laundromats are created equal, and for those losing out, the challenge is how to compete. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Siriyatapa Bhattacharya.
I mean, you don't need to be a cleaning master who has taken a national level test to qualify to work at these laundromats, but it's preferred that you be one. And it's really baffling to think that someone would buy a $140 or $50 lab coat. But they do. Other laundromats that are aspiring to be high-end are the ones that buy the merchandise. And then, you know, they may be cleaning masters that are starting their own laundromats, and they put on the garb and say, look, we've passed the test. We're wearing the most expensive lab coat. Please come visit us while we try and strive to be a higher-end laundromat than we've been.
And that's what's news for Thursday. We're back tonight with a new episode. For the latest on today's earnings and unemployment data, make sure you stay connected to WSJ.com or the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.